Well, good evening, everybody. Good to see everybody here. Appreciate you coming to support a very poor effort, but I'm going to give it my best shot. Teb asked me to speak about probably 5 weeks ago, and I spent about 3.5 of those weeks wondering about, well, what are you going to say, you know? And Ernie's provided me with some downtime and some tractor cabs when he was paying me, and I had plenty of time to think. And so I finally thought about, you know, in the world we're living in today, you know, we don't say too much about Satan anymore. And so that's going to be our subject tonight. We're going to talk about Satan a little bit and what a danger he is. And I thought, you know, it ran through the back of my mind that, you know, you're going to talk about Satan. Well, here we go. This is going to be 3 strikes and you're out. You know, start, stumble, and fall. That's what this will be. And it ran across my mind, doggone, that's good. That's exactly what Satan wants me to think. I'm going to fail. Well, maybe I will fail, but y'all are going to give me I hope you'll give me a little leeway. And I appreciate every one of you being here tonight. And when we get started talking about Satan, one of my favorite people and one of my favorite characters to read about in World War II is General George Patton. And George Patton was a guy that's after my own heart because he don't like politicians. He couldn't stand them. He couldn't get along with them. He was a guy that was a man of action. He was also a godly man, a man that prayed daily, a lot of times more than once. And his biggest thing was to get where he got. He knew he had to know his enemy. And he spent a lot of time reading and researching and stuff. Rommel was supposed to be one of the best tank commanders ever was in the world. He'd written books. Well, Patton couldn't read German, but he got those books translated and he read every word of them and memorized a lot of them. His thought was, I need to know what my enemy does before he does it. That way I can counteract him. I thought that kind of went along with what we're thinking about Satan. We can't fight Satan if we don't know who he is and we don't know what he's going to do and what he's willing to do and to go through to get us, to get us away from God. So when we start tonight, I want to start off with 3 things that Satan wants. First thing is that I thought about is that Satan wants to keep us out of this building. He wants to keep us out of this church. Why is that? Because God is here. Christ is here. If you belong to Christ and Christ is on your side, I don't see how Satan can ever whip you. And he doesn't want us here. And as a group of believing Christians, we understand that we all have shortcomings and we've all done things we're not proud of and we all have weaknesses. But it's like building a rope. If you build a rope, every strand fiber in a rope has a weak spot. But when you put them all together and you twist them all up, you make a very strong rope. And that's what we are. And as Christians and as believing Christians in a church that is godly, that we pray, that we know, then Satan is, it's awful hard to get him in here. You know, it's awful hard for him to be here. Matter of fact, he can't be here because we have Christ. We have Christ as our Savior. So he's just not going to be around. Now, he doesn't mind if you're in all kinds of organizations. It doesn't matter. And there's a lot of good organizations, don't get me wrong. But if you're in enough outside organizations, you don't have time to do a lot in the church. Or maybe you don't have time to be here at all. I've been there. I've devoted a lot of time to volunteer works and stuff to the point that I let my church life go. And I miss so much. And I don't want to do that again. I'm not going to do that again. I'm not going to get so involved in other things that I let that take the place of what I need to be doing, what God wants me to do at his church. And I really believe he put me here for a reason. He put me in his family for a reason. He put each one of us here for a reason. And so I'm not going to let these outside things interfere with me anymore. Doesn't mean they're bad, but when you let them start taking over all your time and you let your church work go, and you let God's work go, then that becomes a very big detriment to us, I think, and life gets very complicated. That's strike one. He didn't keep us out of this church. We're here. And the second thing I want to talk to tonight is if you're here, then Satan wants to get you out. He wants to take you out of here. You're here. He couldn't stop you from being here, but now he wants to get you out of here. And he's been pretty successful at doing this. How does he get Christians back into the world? He entices us with every weakness that we have. He exploits those weaknesses. He gets us back out. And the bad part about that, if he gets us back out into the world from here, we're doubly accountable. We've accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior in this world, and we know where we're going. But if we turn our back on him and we get back and we go back out into the world and we turn our back on Christ, we're doubly accountable because we know better. We know now where we should be, and we know what we should be doing. There was a movie called Courageous, I think was the name of it. Do you remember that? I'm sure most of you have seen it. It was about a man and that was a sheriff, and he lost his daughter, and he looked back on how he'd been as a father, and he made his friends get together with him, and they wrote a resolution. And he wanted his friends to hold him accountable to this resolution, that he was going to be better, a better father. And in that movie, there was a minister that was getting there. They had a big signing ceremony, and they was going to sign this resolution. And I will never forget what the minister said. He said, "You have chosen to take this resolution. You've chosen to do this. You've chosen to be a part of this. If you fail, if you turn your back on this, you are doubly accountable for the consequences." Now, I don't know about y'all, but I quiver in my boots thinking to stand before my maker, to be accountable for the first things I've done, let alone it being double indemnity. I don't need that. There's no way that I could survive that. So we have to be really careful when we're here and we know better and we turn our back on Christ and we return to the world. It's a bad place to be. And it's one of the worst things I think that could happen. And this probably should have been the first thing, Ernie, that I should have put, not the second thing. But anyway, this is strike two. Strike two. He hasn't got us back out into the world. We're still here. So what's left for the rascal to do? The only other thing that he can do, if we're going to be in church and we're going to stay here, he can render us useless in church. And by that I mean, and don't take me wrong, but if you do not use the talents that God has given you to better our life here in church, or better somebody else's. And that doesn't mean everybody can do everything. Certainly doesn't. We all have different talents, and then it's biblical that everybody has talents that they use and should use and are accountable to use. But if we are useless in church, it just means we show up and we're never an encouragement to anybody, and we never take it outside this building with us. To me, that's useless in church. If we're here and going through the motion and not taking anything with us, then why are we here? I think we might as well be at the lake or somewhere. You know, I mean, and I've done that too. So I mean, I'm talking to myself. So it's very, very important that we use the talents that we've been given. There are a lot of devices that the devil can use to render us useless, and one of them being making us think we're worthless. We're just not worthless. In other words, he's putting out our hope. And there's a lot of folks that just don't realize how important they are to somebody else. You know, I can miss church. Oh, and I've been traveling, and we've been gone a month. We miss church, and we miss being here. But I hope y'all missed us being here. And not because we do anything except being an encouragement made to somebody else that you don't even know who it is. And if you take that outside this building with you, then that's doing God's work. And that's not rendering us useless. So if we do that, that's strike three. Now in a ball game, that makes him out, right? But this is a lot more than a ball game. We got to look at what Satan is. First thing he is a thief. And I hate a thief. I shouldn't hate anybody, but I hate a thief. I can put up with about anything, and you ask me for anything I got, if you need it, I'll give it to you, but don't steal it from me, because I'm coming to get you. A thief comes in the night when you're at least expecting him. He's going to take what you've worked hard to get and take it away from you. And Satan will steal everything you have that's important. Your peace, your blessings, your joy, your happiness, your faith, and maybe even your life with Jesus Christ. those are worth more. Those things don't have a monetary value. You can't buy them. I don't care who you are. But if Satan steals those things, he's done you a real disservice for sure. Second thing is, he's a killer. He's just a murdering killer. And by that, he loves to kill by fire. You know, he loves to kill by fire. He'll kill the vision you have inside of you. And I don't know what you've heard of taking somebody's spirit. You know, when you break a horse, you break him right. You don't take his spirit, but you break him. But if you break somebody's spirit in Christ, you know, you never get that back. And how many people do you know? I hope you don't know too many, but I'm sure you can think of some that have left the church because their spirit has been broken by somebody, by something that was said, by something that was done, but something that was left undone that should have been done. And so that's the worst thing that he can do. I mean, he kills our spirit. And once your vision is killed, you're just stagnant. There'll be no progress from there on. You can't hardly ever get it back. Next thing he is a destroyer. And a killer and a destroyer may be kind of the same, but we've got different things, different headings for him. But he'll destroy your life. He'll take your career. He'll destroy your career, your relationship with God, your marriage, any other relationships you have, your potential as a person. And he'll try to destroy your belief in God. That's the worst thing. If you let, you never let Satan get a hold of your belief in God, because God is much more powerful than Satan ever hoped to be. He cannot perform without God. I mean, it's just no way. I mean, he cannot defeat God. And we've seen that. And we've studied Job. And all throughout this, I think about Job. And I think about he's my hero. And how, what an example that is in the Bible for all of us. I mean, how many of us could survive that, could stand that today? Is our faith as good as Job's? I mean, Job's a man after God's own heart. I mean, he was there. God loved him. And yet he let these things, let the devil do these things to him. But the devil did them. That's the key point here. It wasn't God. The devil is the one that did them. And to have that kind of faith and to be that strong should be every one of us' goal as Christians. And I certainly want it to be mine. 2 Corinthians 11 says, but I am afraid that as a serpent deceived by Eve, by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from the devotion to Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself sometimes as an angel of light. So we have to watch and be ever vigilant. Because sometimes even when we think we're doing right, we get off on the wrong track and we get going following the wrong people. So very important that we do that, that we stay in prayer, that we have a relationship with God. And a true relationship with God, I learned that every day, I'm learning every day, is not just coming to church and not just doing that, it's talking to God. And we live in a very peaceful place that we can do that, and we can talk to each other, and we can be at ease. We have perfect examples of God working around us in the last 3 or 4 years in this church, you know, that are just innumerable. And we've seen prayer work in this church. We've seen prayer help people in this church and make them feel better. Doesn't mean everything went away. Doesn't mean the problems were all gone, but it did make things easier. And to be able to have a one-on-one relationship with God is priceless. And I never understood that before, but I'm learning. And just to be able to stand up here in front of you folks to talk about this is something I've never been able to do before. This is my third time, Teb. I hope this is better than what I did before. But at least nobody's left yet. But it is important to share these feelings, to share these things with each other. And I just want you to know that I appreciate every one of y'all, and what an inspiration you've all been to us. If you'll put that up for me. Now, how do we take care of Satan? There's just one sentence, just one verse, and that's it. Put on your full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's scheme. All I've said boils down to this right here. That's all we've got to do. You put on God's armor. And what does armor do? protects you, right? Armor protects you. And I don't know of any better armor than God's armor. It just doesn't get any better than that. I don't know anywhere else to go. But it's a wonderful thought to know that we have such a powerful enemy. And this one sentence can defeat him. That is our defeat against Satan. I hope all of you can think about that a little bit this week. And just remember that we can't ever let our guards down. The ball game's never over. We've got three strikes here and three strikes there, but the ball game's never over with Satan. He's with us and around us and lurking all the time. He's like a roaring lion, right? He's like a roaring lion. He's like a cat. I don't like cats. I don't like cats because they're stinky and they sneaky and I just don't like cats. I just don't like them. But if you can put that in your mind, that's the way the devil's doing. He's behind every bush. He's behind everything that you touch. And he's always looking for a way into your heart. If you need the help of the prayers of the church tonight, we'd ask that you come forward as we stand and sing. If there's anything we can do, and we appreciate everybody being here.